Hello, and welcome to the Geekiest Podcast, where we sit around and talk to our friends about all things geeky, all the while giving each other geek points to determine who is the geekiest.
Welcome to The Geekiest. My name's Joseph. My pronouns are he, him.
Hello, I'm Kayla, and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Will. He, him.
Reese, also Charisse Nicole, and my pronouns are she, her.
Hi, Reese.
Hello, thank you so much for having me back. Yes.
Welcome back.
She joins a very elite group of two-time guests.
Yes. I am honored to be a return guest, and also I'm just really excited to be able to talk with you all again.
Yay!
We're very happy to have you back on. It was rather funny. It's almost how we set up the first show. You posted, "Hey, I would love to talk on a podcast," and I was like, "Let me message her and see if she'll be on our show." And then you messaged, a couple weeks back. Hey, and
that's literally like a dream come true for me. Like, you put something out into the universe and you hope that you get a response back. And I got a response back twice from y'all. So, like, I'm very happy.
Well, we like you.
So, it's been almost a year. And as with everything, things change and life changes. And, you are now with Emerald City GMs Guild, and I took a look at what they're doing and who they are, and would love for you to let folks know not only what that organization is. Wow, words are hard.
English is tough, man.
But what you're specifically doing with them.
Well, I work freelance in the gaming community doing social media marketing and video editing and like convention appearances and stuff like that. And Emerald City Game Masters Guild actually reached out to me to be their corporate consultant. But at the time, it was during the pandemic. So it's just like, we can't really set up corporate parties right now. So I kind of like shifted into the mode of let's talk marketing. And I wanted to help them improve their website and help them get more customers in a way that like was a bit non-traditional, in a sense to where like I would basically poke out different things that I saw that would be good and bad, and worked with them in a way to encourage more customers to come in. And what Emerald City Game Masters Guild is a guild of professional game masters for tabletop role-playing games. So what we do is we have a team of game masters that can run multiple games, whether it's D&D and all the other things. And you can actually hire our professional game masters to run your game. And that's like a huge opportunity for people, because especially you all know when you've been like in a D&D group and then like everything just like falls away and drops off. So we have these professional game masters that kind of like reel it all in, or do like one shots and like parties, and also teach kids how to play. So we have events. We've even done fundraisers, and they've also been the sponsor of my new talk show.
And the new talk show is called?
My talk show, along with my co-host Nikki, is called TTRPG, and it's TEATRPG. And with that, we are connected with a local tea shop called Friday Afternoon Tea. So we basically have like a tea party, and it's very femme focused and just like women empowerment type of thing. But we want to include everyone, but we just want to like talk about the women's experience in gaming while sipping tea in very pretty dresses.
I am all for that. That sounds like so much fun.
It's so fun. And definitely, we record our show once a month at the very last Sunday of the month, but we have a lot more things coming up where we want to start streaming and like doing like I interview people, but also the opportunity for our audience to interview us would be awesome.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I like that reversal.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you have been busy over this past year.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to feel like I've been busy because I work from home and this was a huge adjustment for me. So I went from like commuting and going to work every day and like coming home exhausted and like not even able to like ever want to like play a video game before bed. Like I would just like turn on Netflix and pass out. And now I'm home all the time. I even have to remind my Alexa to tell me to go outside. So it's been like that. But I work from home at my day job. I work for Card Kingdom. If you've ever heard of it or not heard of it, they're a lead retailer for Magic the Gathering. And I do customer service for them. So basically I'm just like talking to people about like, where's my cards or how do I play this card? And like, I just do a lot of magic stuff, but a lot of the job literally has nothing to do with magic and just like listening to people complain, but I can't handle that. So
it sounds like you used to like you work for like Nintendo and when they had that call-in service.
Yeah, I literally am just the person you call. And so like, where's your package? When's this collection or edition coming out and like stuff like that. But I really enjoy it. I have like a really good relationship with my coworkers, and just the fact that like I've been able to do this job while at home has been a super blessing. But like, that's just my day job, like where I know the paycheck is coming from. But I still have other jobs that I do on the side because I can't say no to anything. So aside from my day job at Card Kingdom, yes, I'm working with Emerald City Game Masters Guild, and I have my talk show, TTRPG, but I also am the producer of a scholarship pageant, and I'm just now starting to manage a band.
Okay.
All right, I need to know about these things. Scholarship pageant.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it last time, but I was telling you guys that I am Miss Thurston County 2008. And
I do remember you mentioning that.
Yes. I'm still involved. It's been like what? Like, I don't even want to age myself like that. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about the years. But I'm still involved as a volunteer. So everyone involved in this organization is a volunteer. And this is part of the Miss America organization. So we have our local, which is Miss Thurston County, which is my title. And then you go to Miss Washington. And then you go to Miss America. So within my local, I produce the pageant, which means that I am in charge of literally putting on the show on the pageant day.
Wow.
But wow. That comes with like months of preparation.
As a former stage manager, I can't wrap my head around that. That's a lot.
It's
Do you have like
managing-
a staff?
No, I partner with my favorite sister queen, and we do the job together. But like, not only am I a stage manager, I'm also a mentor. I'm also a performer sometimes, and I'm also a director. So like, I do it all, and it's people always ask me like, why do you do this? They don't even pay you, and I'm just like, if they paid me, I would hate doing this. I have a passion for this because, as a former Miss Thurston County, I'm literally like making the work happen to bring in a new Miss Thurston County. And therefore, I get a new sister.
That's a good way to look at it. I like that.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Very positive way of looking at it.
Yes. There's a lot of people, I think, that think that the pageant scene, and I think it's a myth more than anything, but I think there's a lot of people that think that the pageant scene is very cutthroat and not the community that it really is.
And I feel like that's probably the reason why I continue to be involved even after all these years, because there's an instant stereotype that comes with pageantry, and there is the competition and the cutthroat part of it, but if you've never actually been a part of the whole thing, then you would never know. And it's kind of unfair that people don't know about how much it really enriches the lives of myself and the women that continue to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we have people like us who can bring people like you onto awesome shows like this to talk about it. Yes,
raising awareness and geeking out about it.
There you go.
So I have to ask, you broached the subject. What, for those who aren't familiar, what's the background?
The background of the organization?
What does the organization do?
So the Miss America organization is the leading scholarship provider for young women. And with that, every woman that competes in a local, state, or national receives a scholarship for their college education in order to do their best in the world. So with that, yes, we have our competition factor, but even the contestants that don't win a title still receive money to go towards their college education.
That's really cool, and that's important for people to know.
It really is. Like, with pageantry, there's been like a stigma of like it's about modeling and like pretty dresses and all this stuff. But the biggest part of this entire organization is about interview and your social impact. So every contestant has like a cause that they want to address and advocate for. And also most of the training that comes from this is not from walking in an evening gown or performing talent's very important, but I feel like the most important thing that I've taken out of it is the training for interviews. So stepping into that panel of interviewers and judges has prepared me for every single job interview I've done and any time I talk to someone new.
That's an interesting point. You know, we talk about like school doesn't teach, you know, if you go through your normal public school or whatever, doesn't teach life. You know, schools don't teach life skills as much as we probably should be.
And yes, that's actually something that I go over with my contestants. I'm just like, okay, yes, you just graduated high school, but I'm going to drop a bomb on you. You didn't learn shit.
Nope.
I teach them about like financial responsibility. I teach them about social media. I teach them about like interviews and how to get a job, how to keep a job, just time management in general. Like there's so many things that these young women don't know coming out of high school. And I just want to like, because I'm so many years removed out of high school, I just want to like grab them and be like, I suffered, but you don't have to.
The ability to interview, I think, is something that does not get enough attention or enough training on it, because, you know, everything after you're in school is, you know, an interview. Either it's a job interview or you're applying for college and it's a college interview, and, you know, it's
dating. Like dating is literally an interview. Yeah. Right? You have to be able to talk about yourself, and it's just like, but how do I do this without being awkward? Like, that's why pageant training is helpful. But also, dating is just a complete disaster anyway, so.
Considering that the Miss Universe pageant was just held, what,
yesterday? Yes.
So, timely topic.
It really is, and the Miss Universe pageant is separate from the organization that I work with, but I follow all of the different pageant systems. Like, I love to see how different organizations run their show. And also, Miss America is not considered a pageant anymore, so I still want to look at pageants because I was in it when it was a pageant. But Miss Universe does a really great job, and they really, like, I love how they celebrate all the different countries of the world. I really loved Miss Ghana. I loved the winner, actually, this year was Miss Mexico. Oh,
that's, now, no explain difference. To us.
But when Miss America, they had basically a shift in leadership, because this all happened during the beginning of the Me Too movement. And the former CEO of Miss America was literally like a bad guy. He slut-shamed the former Miss Americas. He sent terrible, dirty emails, and we were just like, enough is enough. So it all changed to like an all-female-led committee. And then the top of that committee was just like, how about we just don't call it a pageant? It's a scholarship organization preparing great women for the world and preparing the world for great women. And so we like X'd out the swimsuit competition, which I am not ashamed of the swimsuit competition. But they just wanted to like take away like the female, the shame that comes along with pageants in general. So like people always criticize pageants because of the swimsuit competition or because of beauty. So we stopped calling it a beauty pageant. But within all these different organizations, we're still walking on stage, still performing our talents, still looking cute as heck. But we just had to find a different way to do it, which would allow us to be more inclusive to different body types, identities sexually, and stuff like that.
So rebranding.
It was a complete rebranding. Like, they literally called it Miss America 2.0.
Hey, you said there was something else you said you were involved in besides the pageant thing, and it flew my head now.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends from my choir class in high school, I was the president of my choir, and I literally thought no one would remember me, but he was like the lead bass, and he reached out to me. He's like, hey, Reese, I heard that you were like in a band in Las Vegas and you also managed your boyfriend's band in Seattle. Like, could you help us out? And I'm like, sure. I always say yes to everything, which is like a problem because there's not enough time in the world, but mm-hmm. I do plan on helping them improve their sound, try to get them gigs. And this is like located in Thurston County. I don't even live in Thurston County. I go down there for pageant stuff and for my friends all the time. But I'm just getting my feet wet with this whole thing because I haven't done a lot of music stuff in about 3 years.
Okay, so managing a band on top of everything else.
Yes.
In your spare time with your other hand, right?
Exactly. I have three hands. That's why I can do all this.
And you sleep standing up with your eyes open.
Exactly. Just you explained it correctly.
There we go.
I was expecting sleep. What's sleep?
Every day I wake up and like the sun's out, I'm really freaked out. I'm just like, what time is it? And it's like either 5 a.m. or like 5 minutes before I'm supposed to start work at 9. So.
Oof, that's a rough start.
Well, at least your commute is short.
But I don't have to commute and I don't have to shower, get ready, put makeup on. The only time I put makeup on is just to make myself feel good that day, which is like maybe once a week. And this type of lifestyle is kind of what I needed all along.
I can see that.
So back to, I just wanted to ask, with having gone through a year of pandemic, how did that impact, you know, Miss Thurston County and you know, the scholarship competition, you know, in general?
Actually, a really great question, because I definitely went into freak out mode when this happened, because I really care about the current queen in my program. And what had happened was everything got shut down, all of her appearances got canceled, and like she had just been crowned in October. So we were like really hoping for her to have like a really great year. And then everything happened. She ended up giving up her title. And then we got a new queen who was the first runner up. So that was like a huge transition. And like, I'm happy for the first runner up, but I'm also like really sad for the girl who won in the competition in 2020 or 19. I don't even know. 2020 didn't happen. Like, exactly. But like, I had a really close relationship with the queen that had won the last pageant that I produced, but also a really close relationship with the first runner-up, because she actually had competed in my program 2 years in a row. So I was happy to bring her in and just like shower her with love. But she didn't get to have that, like, there's like this huge impactful moment when your name is called and they put the crown on your head and like everybody's cheering. Like, you don't get that when you get the crown by default. And so like we actually had like a surprise a surprise crowning for her at one of her other pageant sisters' events. And I brought like my crown and like put it on her head. And she's like, Miss Thurston County is Rachel. And I put it on her head. And like, that was like the only crowning moment that she would have ever gotten. But like, we just had to, especially with the pandemic, like everything has had to been about adapting. So we adapted. And I actually have, by the way, within my other duties as the producer of Miss Thurston County, I created a talk show for that as well. And it's where like I bring on a different queen every month and we just talk. So I brought her on the talk show and I asked her like, how has it been for you being, you know, these are not the words I use, but being the queen by default. And she was like, I'm just so proud and blessed to be here. And she has like such a good outlook about it. And I am just so proud of her. And she's literally my pageant sister. So we're in this together.
That's very cool. I love that support. That's something that I think a lot of young girls have missed. You know, it's is true.
Society pins us against each other so often.
That's exactly another reason and exactly why I continue to do this, because I just get so upset about how women are constantly in competition with each other. And I know I entered myself into a beauty pageant, but if you have never been in it, you know that like everybody is literally there to support each other. And just the fact that I get to continue to support other women in their dreams and their goals, whether it's job related or scholarship and college related, like I just want to be there for them. And I find it weird, but also like really endearing that I spend a lot of my time talking to like 17 and 18 year olds, and we have some sort of connection and I can relate to them and they can relate to me, and we're like 15 years apart.
That is something that doesn't happen easily usually.
Yes.
Okay, so for the record, I've got like 4 geek points in here just from different stuff.
I was hoping I was racking them up.
Definitely. I had a couple not myself. For nothing.
You could make an entire show on here's how to have a relationship with your 17, 18 year old daughter.
Mm-hmm. I'm like a very proud babysitter, but also like I can hang out with a 5-year-old or a 17-year-old, and I just like want anyone to just feel the love and feel the support.
You're hired.
And that's exactly what we need to be teaching these new generations of girls coming in.
That's why I haven't left it. Like, yeah, you're not paying me. And sometimes I get pissed off and I start drama, but it's only because I really believe in this whole cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. And I think there's something to be said for the rise of the geek community. Mm-hmm. And the rise of kind of the feminist movement and the equality between men and women supporting each other and not being competitive. And I think the same thing for men as well, is there's less, you know, competition. I mean, you guys can speak to that more than I can. But I feel it a lot in the geek community, that equality is being nurtured and pushed and taught more. I mean, I could be crazy, but that's...
No, it's not crazy. And that's the thing, like, we're thinking it's crazy when really it's something that's supposed to happen. So with the geek community or like nerds or whatever, like there actually is a huge gate that has been kept from people in order to come in. They're just like, oh my God, you never watched Star Wars. You're not one of us. But there's so many things that can make somebody geeky, and you're ruling them out because they don't like watch all of your Marvel universe. Like, just stop. Just let people in, let people learn things. And it's the same with so many other communities that don't keep people out just because you think you have something special. Let people in because you have something that's special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. There used to be a lot of gatekeeping in the geek community. And I think that that's starting to go away.
It is. And like, that actually kept me out a lot, because I stereotypically would be somebody that nobody would consider a geek, but I was always doing my geeky things in the side, in my house. No one ever talked to me about it, or I had like online friends. But now, like, I'm out. I'm a geek. Let me have this.
It is okay to come out of the game closet.
The geek closet, yes.
That's cool. What do you guys, okay, so from the male perspective, like, we have the female perspective, we see that the geek community is less gatekeeping towards women, we see that women are supporting each other as gamers and geeks and all of those things. What's it like on the male side?
Thank God. Oh, I'm sorry, is that not clear enough?
I have to agree with Will. I mean, it's I for a long time, at least from what I saw and experience, it was like we were part of a group that was bullied for being geeks and nerds and whatever. And the first thing anybody did once they, you know, once we found each other was, well, we got to set up our hierarchy, and we got to set up our rules, and we got to set up, you know, and now to see those things breaking down and those folks who held those lines getting just pushed out. I mean, some of it's a little embarrassing that it took us, it took the men in the community or the masculine folks in the community to finally go, hey, you know what, guys, the bullshit gatekeeping, you know, the comic book store guy who, you know, when a femme person enters and the first question is, are you here buying books for your boyfriend? You know, that we let that persist for so long. You know, and part of I need, at least for me, like part of my thing was I don't need to go to the game store because I've got my group of friends, so I don't have to be part of that community. But in a way, that disconnecting can allow that to continue. And now it's like, you know, we go into the Venture Game Store, and it's like, I know, you know, whether it was Brian or Keith running it, I know that sort of crap is, you know, a one-way ticket out the door.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, real fast.
And more to the point, I think what really changed things is it finally went from, are you here for somebody else, or, oh my God, it's a girl. Awesome. They get as much love and attention as they possibly can.
Yeah, then there was the creeper side to that too.
Well, those went away quickly because then you learn who the creepers are, and they get to they go away.
It hasn't completely gone away though. Like, I've definitely been like idealized as like, oh my gosh, you're a girl and you like games. And this happened so many times in like my Tinder account when I said that I worked in gaming, or even before I started working for Card Kingdom exclusively. We also have a brick and mortar store / restaurant, and I was a server in the restaurant, and I would like be serving like beers to a table of like a bunch of guys playing Magic. And they're like, so you probably don't know anything about this game, but what do you think about this card? And I would just like literally explain it to them, and they'd be like, oh shit, she knows. And like, why does it have to be like that? Or just any other game. I would be like, oh my God, I love this game. They're like, you play games? You're not just like a server in a restaurant passing beers around? I'm just like, no, I do a lot of gaming stuff.
You're a fully formed human being with interests and everything else? Oh my God.
Yes.
And see, I'm perfectly happy to hear that you throw down and you school guys and they go, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, because as shitty as it is that they even went there to begin with, it's highly unlikely that it happens again.
You're teaching them. My confidence has been boosted so much. Like, the first time that I ever played a game of Magic, I won. And that's the only reason why I continue to play, because I'm just like, if I could win on my first try, I already understand the game. I could do this. Mm-hmm. And I was playing against a cis white male, and I'm just like, yes, take it. Fuck it.
He wasn't mad.
He wasn't mad. He congratulated me. He was a good teacher.
That's, you know, and I'd like hearing that sort of story than the, you know, the negative response and throw up hands and just, you know, be derogatory or whatever. That's
yeah. There was no board flipping or flipping the table. It was just like, okay, I taught the game well. You won. But that's not always the case. And especially since I have somewhat of a background of teaching people how to play board games, I do have sort of a comforting voice within myself to where, like, people can actually learn a game by listening to me telling them. But it's not easy to read a rule book. It's not easy to teach a game. But just the fact that, like, that gives a certain amount of accessibility to the community for these people mm-hmm. is really comforting to me.
Oh, absolutely. I Kayla and I, for a short period, were doing some learn to play D&D with a local business incubator / social club.
That's a good description.
Oh.
Say that one more time.
Business incubator / social club.
Okay, what does it mean?
Oh, so our friends at Access Granted used to be a company down here that they would, you know, if you were a small business, they would help you with like navigating marketing and making connections and, you know, looking for grant money if, you know, if it's something that you could do or really just anything. They were all and they also were doing like co-working spaces. But the other side of the business was they would do like a different event each night and on the weekend. So there was like a tea night and tarot night and a knit and bitch night. And so we forget what exactly went there for some party or something they were doing. And we got talking to the two gentlemen who owned it, Brian and Clint. And we got talking about D&D and they, I think Clint had played it or Brian had played it. One of them had played it vaguely in the past or one of them was really interested in it. And so we did the learn to play. Like I brought all the books over, whatever, and ran a one shot with them and a couple other folks and Kayla. And they were hooked. Like the next day I ran into them at a game store. They were buying dice. They were buying the, not the starter kit, but the second kit that WotC put out that had like, you know, the bigger expanded how to create characters and stuff. They were buying that and they were hooked.
Congratulations, Joe. You're a crack dealer. First taste is free, man.
Yep.
But we had a couple other folks at the table as well. And, you know, her name slips my mind, but she was playing an Aarakocra monk. And as soon as she was like, I can fly, I was like, yeah, you can fly. Oh my God.
I love that realization when people realize that if they play an Aarakocra, I can fly. It's awesome.
Even those realizations that you get from like your GM, you're just like, wait, are you saying I can do this? And they're like, yeah. And I'm just like, oh shit, I didn't even know that I could. Mm-hmm. Great. Hopefully I'm going to roll 20 for this because I want that.
Yeah. Oh, it was she was like, wait, so I can use my talons for my unarmed strike? And was like, yeah, you can. And then it just became shenanigans and it was awesome. And then she moved to California. So.
But I bet you she's still playing.
I hope so.
That's the cool part is we get people hooked and it never goes away. Once you're a D&D player, it's always kind of in your head.
I think that's for almost any tabletop role-playing game.
All the people that I've never played before will never know, but the moment that they play for the first time, they're in. There's no way out.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like what I kept...
That happened to me.
Hotel California or experience,
but
there you go.
And that is a key point, Will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say the Brian and Clint have moved. They're in West Texas now, and they opened up a Pride Center out there. And I believe one of their Pride Center events is a D&D night. So,
mm-hmm.
And if you're listening, we miss you. We love you. You need to come visit again.
Right. Yeah. So that was a an interesting organization and gave us that opportunity to kind of get out there and teach people, you know, and get people hooked like you do. So yeah, the more people
point to you and Joe, by the way, for that.
Aw,
thank you.
Yes, out of all the addictions out there, I think this is something that's okay to be hooked to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I have actually seen people talk about how D&D has actually helped them get through real addictions.
I mean, that's super true. I mean, I started my campaign during the pandemic. My GM was so awesome, and we were all stuck at home, and we like converted our game to be a Discord video chat, and like that was like so much easier than like trying to get everybody together in a room to play a game. It was so consistent. We had this elaborate story. We even played two characters at once.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you and, made like, the transition easily.
Yes, and I would not have been able to do that without a really good GM, which is why I advocate for the Emerald City Game Masters Guild, because like somebody has got to help me through this. And as a new player, I would have never been able to do it. I have to like literally give a disclaimer to any DM. I'm just like, by the way, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Also, by the way, you're going to have to tell me what I have to roll for. And a lot of DMs won't do that because they'll be like, come on, you don't know already. And like, I'm just like, but I want to learn. So I've had like the best experience over quarantine, like playing different RPGs and having like really good GMs. And it literally got me through 2020.
The idea, like, so our, you know, we have the Not Safe for Wizards podcast, and our group, we've been playing together now, what, like 2.5 years?
Something like that.
Maybe a little more than that. And, you know, I still, it's like, okay, well, you know, hey, I need you to make a perception check. You know, hey, I need to, you know, and we did the move too from in person to Discord and Roll20. And I think I've said before on the show, it's a lot, you know, it requires a lot more preparation, I feel, from the DM now with the Roll20 stuff, where before, you know, oh, you're going to have a random encounter. I can just drop, you know, pull out the battle map, you know, get out the wet dry, you know, the wet eraser, and, you know, up, oh, there's the forest, or there's the, you know, the stream and the campfire, and we could go. Where we're playing in Roll20, I, you know, need to have some sort of map ready to visually present. So
So as it has become easier for players to play together, it's become more of a challenge for DMs.
It requires a little more prep.
That makes sense. And this is why I give all the grace and glory to any GM that has ran a game that I've played in, because that shit's not easy. I randomly became a GM one day, and that was really hard.
And Kayla can talk to, you know, the transitioning from being only a player to, you know, now DMing a 2-year-long campaign now.
Mm-hmm. So far, 2 years got running. Yeah. Well, I mean, I cheated because I have a partner who's a DM who sat next to me and told me everything I was screwing up. So I learned. but yeah, the transition was definitely interesting, because I did transition kind of during all of this. And we were lucky enough that we had a quarantine pod that we were all playing together. So we got to keep that game in person. But I actually struggled with transferring to online for a while. It was difficult, and I've talked about this on the show before. I'm a people person, and I'm very tactile, and I'm very like, I want to look you in the eye, and I want to be able to grab your hand, and I want to see when you take a breath to speak, and I would like and feel that emotion and all of those things, because theater nerd. And it was tough at first, doing it online, to be able to kind of hone in those things in a different way.
Makes sense. Like, I feel like I've gotten so comfortable with like video chats now, whereas like it was really awkward before. And I really feel like actually made more connections through video chat than I ever did in person, having to be out there in the world.
That's, I mean, I guess everybody's experience is different in that. I remember as a kid when, like, you'd be watching sci-fi, you know, you'd be watching Star Trek or whatever, and there's, you know, everything's video chat. You know, that was, like, the big thing. You know, Blade Runner, I think, was one of my earliest memories of seeing the whole video chat thing. And I was always very, like, I don't know if I want, what if I'm naked? Like, what?
Oh my God.
I came up with every awkward scenario.
I think about that all the time. Like, sometimes I'm just, like, having anxiety. And I'm just like, okay, I just got off of a Discord party, but I still feel like I'm being watched. I, like, flip my webcams down, and I'm just like, I know I left the chat, but I don't know. So that that makes a lot of sense.
So you guys are afraid of having a Demolition Man moment?
Yes, and that's the key point.
It's the first thing I think of. Well, man, aside from the fact that that's a great television.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, oh my God. Yeah. It was really awkward, you know, when it actually started happening, even before the pandemic, when we just started getting, like, video chat and FaceTime and, you know, Facebook FaceTime thingy, whatever they call that. And, like, my oldest son likes to do that. He likes to FaceTime me. So he'll, like, through Facebook or whatever. So he'll call and I'll see that it's a video and I'm like, shit. Okay. Let's get an angle so mom doesn't look fat.
You FaceTime your parents? Has anybody had to do that?
I have not. I haven't FaceTimed my dad yet. I should do that.
At least mine, they really don't get it. And, like, I have, like, a huge setup. Like, I have a webcam. I do it all from my computer. And they're just, like, on their phones, like, wait, what? Can you hear me? Huh? And they're, like, holding the phone in, like, random places. I'm just like, mom, dad, like, just hold still. And then they, like, explain to us, at least to me, they explain to me for, like, the first 15 minutes how this is all new to them. And they don't know how us young people do it. And I'm just like, I'm literally telling you right now, and it's really easy, but it doesn't have to be this hard. You don't have to tell me how you don't know. I'm telling you how it's easy.
But is it?
It's not.
I'm trying to
reinforce, like, their own insecurities while also being insecure myself.
Well, then. Say, I understand that change and new things can look difficult. Come on, you got to channel your Mr. Rogers.
it's the reverse role. Our parents taught us stuff. Now we have to turn around and teach our parents.
Yeah, it's things. Very daunting. I used to work in cell phone sales, and I sold my grandpa a smartphone, and I have been teaching him how to use it for the last freaking, like, 6 years. And he still messes it up, and he still signs up for those stupid emails, and his phone still gets hacked and broken on a regular basis.
I am going to give you a geek point for patience with grandparents.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
I think that's a particular skill.
I need that.
I have seen Joe with his dad, and it's so cute. Because, like, the thing you have to understand about Joe and his dad is that Joe's dad is literally, like, they're clones. Only one has whiter hair. It's
okay. That's Joe.
That makes sense.
Just kidding.
Not yet.
They're dwarves. They're both dwarves, and like Tolkien dwarves.
Yeah, but the old man, you know, after I got did the long hair and the long beard, then all of a sudden he got the long hair and the long beard.
That's true. You did do it first.
But he does it better.
But he is a very distinguished Tolkien dwarf. But when something goes wrong with technology, is that just Joe, make it work.
Eat it out the window.
My dad lives with us. So he will come out of his room and it's like, I gotta print something off of this, out of my email. And it's like, okay. I don't know where it is in my email, though. And it's like, oh, okay. All right, well, who did
you
it come from?
Signed up for a whole other task that it was a simple request, but it actually took you so much longer. That's what it is like teaching the older generation how to deal with technology.
And we will be there when our children and grandchildren are showing us how to be able to use the holographic system to, you know,
don't age me like this.
You know what? I'm already there. My, you know, our boys are in their 20s, and there have been times where I have been trying to do something on my phone, and Joe's pretty good. If Joe's around, I can, you know, Joe will help me with whatever, but I occasionally will have a senior moment and hand my phone to one of my children and go, here, fix it. You know,
just hand it over. That's kind of how I've been dealing with, like, switching from iPhone to Android.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so you're going up in the world, technologically.
Right, girl, now.
I'm very aware about how droids work, and I always used to have both an iPhone and an Android because I worked in cell phone sales for so long, but I haven't worked there for, like, 6 years, and then all of a sudden I, like, was like, oh, let me get an Android phone, and I got one in my hands. I'm just like, ah, I don't know what to do. I did not activate that phone for like 2 weeks. I had to get my partner to help me with it.
That's funny. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I just got a new phone recently, and there were a few things because I've always been a Droid user, but there were still a few things because it was like I had my other phone for several years. So there had been a few upgrades that I missed. So I got the new phone and was like, okay, I have hold on. There's no headphone jack. What's going on? I was so confused.
Why they did that? That was rude.
Seriously.
Yeah, that was one of those where it's like, I remember when they did that to the Apple users, and us Android users are like, yeah. Look what they did to you.
They pushed like the $200 Bluetooth on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rude.
Or you can, you know, use your, what is it, the lightning port, but then you can't charge your phone while you're listening to it.
If you got a special adapter, you could. That's another reason why they could squeeze more money out of you. You already spent $1,000 on a phone, but then you have to get all these adapters, and then you're spending like another $200 plus.
Yay, corporate capitalism.
Ugh. If we're gonna get into capitalism, I can't do that today.
There is not enough coffee or tea right now.
No. So oh, when I get to the your TRPG talk show, so I see you've been having guests. Is so far are there any gets that you are dying to have or?
Yes, I will have to pull up her her Twitter, but she is somebody that I've been like super she showed up in like my first recent searches. I have been so eager to interview Adelaide Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
And she's actually going to be on my show next month.
That's super cool.
And we have like a special Pride episode where our sponsor for TTRPG, the Friday Afternoon Tea sponsor, is gonna be on the show, and I'm just like so excited for all of it because like we just want to like celebrate everything, like gayness, being yourself, all of it. And but we still have a show this month, and I really hope that everybody can listen to that as well. But I'm very, very excited to interview Adelaide.
Cool.
Who's your dream guest that you don't have booked yet?
I mean,
I ask that because we talk about that all the time.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, I do not want to set my expectations too high. And while I am the host of the show, I kind of have to let myself pull back a little bit. So my co-host, actually, she's amazing. Nikki Silvera, she's amazing. She actually gets all the guests for me because I get super stressed and super anxious about things. So she pulls the people in. The fact that she was able to pull Adelaide was like one thing, but I would really love to like learn about different celebrities' interest in board games outside of like Cards Against Humanity or like Uno. So if I could find that one person, I feel like I could give a really good pitch and like get them on my show. But we'll see.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it was also last year, and Will threw the Hail Mary pass and reached out to B. Dave Walters.
We love Will.
And B. Dave responded back positively, and then for those who don't know, and it's probably pretty obvious on the show from time to time, I'm generally the person who books the guests on the show. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, he was like, all right, you know, B. Dave's interested, go land him. And I was like, B. Dave Walters, I mean, the guy I've watched on Geek and Sundry play games with people and you know, LA by Night, and B. Dave Walters, comic book writer, B. Dave Walters. Oh, okay.
There are, like, I really feel like within, like, the geek community, we definitely, like, quote, fangirl about a lot of mm-hmm. people that don't think that they even deserve the praise. We're just like, no, I'm a fan. Yes, I know you're a regular person just appearing online, but I'm a fan.
That was exactly, like, that is exactly what B. Dave was like. That was exactly when we had James Intricasso on. That was exactly what he was like. It was like, no, you're James Intricasso. I listened to Tabletop Babble. I you know, listened to you when you were on, you know, the other podcast network. Like, your name is in books that I own, you know, from D&D. Like, you're somebody. And he was just so genuinely happy to be on the show. And it was like, I don't know how to, like, I'm a fan.
We forgot how to talk.
Yeah. Anytime you go to Comic Con, you're just like, wait, what? You, what?
Yeah. Yeah, totally forget how to speak English. Like, there's yeah. there's a few people that I know that if I came face to face with them or we got them on the show, I would have to, like, cry for a few minutes before the show, remember yes, how to, like, speak English.
All preparation and... The thing is, like, TTRPG has only been around for, like, the last 4 months, but, like, I have super huge plans to make it, like, a real big thing. Like, aside from our talk show, we want to do the streaming, we want to have the interview the host thing, but, like, we want to make it bigger than it actually is right now. And we already get, like, 60 people watching our show at a time, which is, like, a huge thing for Twitch. But if we can, like, stream more often during the week, like, what could happen? And then people will start seeing it and people will start, like, tuning in, and then all of a sudden you're visible mm-hmm. to the bigger names in the community, and that is, like, a huge accomplishment. So one day we'll get there, but
yeah, it rolls uphill.
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely rolls uphill. And that's, I think, I'm really excited about as the world starts to open up again, going back to conventions and things like that, because as much as, like, we go to conventions for a lot of different reasons, and some of it has to do with the guests and celebrities that come to them, that we either, you know, pay ridiculous amounts of money to meet and get their autograph, or, you know, sit in on panels and you know, listen to them speak and all of those things. But it also is kind of a great equalizer. You know, it is so possible and so plausible in a con setting that, like, if, you know, your show and our show had booths right next to each other, that, you know, random person we all drool over could walk by and sit down and talk to us.
Okay, that is actually something that, like, I got to experience as a musician. Like, I used to go to Warped Tour every year. I've okay. really missed okay. that shit. And, I would, like, walk up to the booth
point,
and, like...
I'm going
to
say that's a geek point. Point.
Okay. I feel like I actually deserve that one. But I would, like, walk up to, you know, like, I don't know, if you've ever been to Warped Tour, like, it's, like, this huge outdoor festival, and, like, your favorite bands are, like, screaming into the microphone at a bunch of people, like, sweltering in the heat. And then they go back to their booth, and you get to line up to, like, meet them or take a picture, get, like, an autograph or something. And so I would, like, make this instant connection with, like, the lead singer of, like, all my favorite bands and be like, will you take a picture with me? And all this stuff. Or, like, I would ask, like, even one time I even asked the lead singer of my favorite band if I could sing his song at my pageant, because we had to get permission from the artist. Aww. And so, like, I was, like, fangirling all the time at Warped Tour. And, like, I feel like I get that same experience out of going to cons. They don't think they're hot shit, but we as fans think that they're hot shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, yeah, I'm just normal. I'm just going to take a selfie with you. And I'm just like, I don't have to pay thousands of dollars for this. I'm not going to get a... What's the word when it's like a do not disclose statement or whatever?
NDA.
Yes.
NDA.
Yes. One of those. It's just like, they're just normal people.
Mm-hmm. We have had, I mean, if you think about it, between the three of us, we have had a little tiny bit of a taste of that. Because I'll tell you what, when we were performing, especially if you're a fighter, and Will, you can chime in on this one because I think you're the most seasoned arena fighter of us. There's that certain amount of when you get done with a fight, and we do nightly petting zoo of these people just, oh my God, you are so cool. And this is, and we're just like hitting each other, you know, but there's that, you know, people. And I think it's an interesting feeling to be on the other side of that. Just a little bit, you know. Will, did we lose you? I think we lost Will. Oh no! Oh yeah, he stepped away. I didn't see the note. Damn it! erase. But Joe's been a part of it too. Joe and I ran the shows for the group that we were with, and that stepping out to start the show.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh. And the crowd just screams. And there's and it's like, it's such a rush, but at the same time you have this little part of you that's going, I'm just a little person and I'm not really doing anything all that cool. And then this big booming voice comes out of your mouth.
Yeah. For me it was so when I started with the group, Kayla had been in the group for a while before that. But we had started, when I started, we were at this little intersection at the fair called the Crossroads, because multiple paths cross there. And we would get 200-300 people standing in that area, and we would block traffic for, you know, all around, you know, for the booths around us. And that was one thing, to come out to that and just to see the sea of people standing and sitting and just... And then near the end of our run together, our run with the group at the fair, they moved us to the joust field, which had like bleachers on either side of the field. And
yeah,
I remember I was part of my gig was also I was out hawking, you know, trying to get people to come see the show. And being that I was one of the masters of ceremonies, I was the last to come into the field. From hawking, I was usually, you know, with staff in hand, getting the last stragglers into the arena. And I remember that first time stepping through the ropes onto the field, and we had filled all of the bleachers, and it was just like I was like we could have been in the Colosseum of Rome. That's how I felt. Like there were people, you know, on front side and back side, and just like, oh, this isn't just some people standing next to the beer tent. It's
yeah, whoa. And that feeling is it's really incredible. And but you do, you have that, and I see it. And I mean, different celebrities handle things differently. And you have your humble ones, and you have your so humble ones. But you know,
that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, hi, you're back. We were talking about you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to go and be super dad for a moment.
No worries. You go be super dad as much as you need to. But we were talking about the celebrity experience and how, especially in the geek community, celebrities tend to be very humble and kind of, I'm just a person, even though we are hardcore geeking out over them. And I was saying how us being part of the Renaissance Fair and you specifically, because you're probably the most seasoned arena fighter of the three of us, that that kind of like when we go to do nightly petting zoo and stuff like that, that people think you're just amazing, and we're all kind of standing there just going, you know, we just like to hit each other.
Yeah, we're a little touched. just a little bit.
Right. But people look, I mean, I've seen it happen. I've stood next to you and seen it happen where people just look at you like you are just the coolest thing since sliced bread.
I agree. Yeah. That does happen. And yeah, much like most people in the geek community, I don't see it either, but that's a self-confidence thing that I think is pretty inherent in the geek community.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't really gone away yet.
Yeah. I think that's interesting to bring it full circle. I don't
necessarily want it to, because it's very novel that people are just, hey man, this is what I do for fun. I just happen to make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that that mentality doesn't go away.
We should be doing things that are fun that also make us money. And the thing about like capitalism is like you're supposed to like just go into an industry that you don't completely love and then just try to get a paycheck and then leave. But I think like the best thing about working in the gaming community for me is that like I'm doing something that I love. Yeah, I get pissed, I get annoyed, but they give me money.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We were talking about, I was talking with a customer of ours at the store about the whole, the phrase, you know, do what you love and you never work a day in your life. And I was like, no. Do what you love and you never stop working, but you love what you're doing.
Just doing it is not about the money. Like, I do feel, especially being like a musician in my past, like I haven't worked as a musician for a long time, but the moment that I started like making big dollars out of it, I'm just like, I don't like this anymore. And like, you can't take the music out of me, but I took myself out of that music career for sure.
So that was your, when you decided to leave, was when it just wasn't fun anymore?
It wasn't fun anymore. Like, it wasn't even about the music. Like, I was being ridiculed for how my body looked and how I didn't fit into the costumes right, or how short I was, or just like getting it wrong sometimes and being like completely embarrassed by it. So like, yeah, it took a lot of the fun out of it for me, but you can take me to karaoke and I'll be fine.
Duly noted. Guys, make a note. When we finally get to see Reese in person, we're taking her to karaoke. Yeah, karaoke
night. It's probably going to be in Vegas. I'm a celebrity there, at least.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, we have caught up on quite a bit of Reese's life. Is there anything else going on with you?
You guys know the whole gist of it. I am just really happy right now, and that's like a really hard thing for people that have neurodivergence. So I'm dealing with a lot of like imposter syndrome and just like, why am I happy? I have depression, all this type of stuff, but like everything is good. And I just want to like spread this positivity as much as I can.
Well, as a fellow member of the imposter syndrome club, I'd like to make sure that you got your pin and jacket.
Can you send it to me? Cause I need that.
Well, considering you are in very good company, because some of the most incredible people out there suffer with things like that.
It's so true. And I really do love the fact that I've been able to speak out about it more and connect with people about it and go to therapy and all that stuff. Like, I just feel like plenty of people don't have that option or they don't know about it. So like, especially like as a person of color, like, it wasn't really an available option to me, and I was only able to get like that mental health because there was a movement for people of color, especially Black people, that were like having mental health issues during the protests, and I was able to get therapy for free, and then I got referred to another therapist, and it's just so good to talk to somebody that's not a part of your friend group or somebody that knows you even a little bit and just like spill it all out. So like, I advocate for mental health therapy so much. I don't take meds or anything, but it's just so good to be able to talk about it. And being able to like talk about anything and get it off your chest, like whether it's through a phone call, through a video chat, through a podcast, Like, people just need to, like, be able to talk to people.
Agreed. Agreed. We need to normalize mental health and taking care of your mental health and, you know, that we're not all the same and that it's okay.
And
like, not everybody's the same. Like, I've been
not
being able to understand something, or why do you get so sensitive? It's like, just let me be me. So I'm just going to continue to be me, and I really hope that anybody that hears this or y'all can understand that we're all in this together.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I guess we should then do some geek news. How's that sound?
Geek news!
Joe goes first.
I go first?
Joe goes first.
You go first.
All right. Well, from the world of capitalism.
Oh, no.
So AT&T announced today that they are going to be spinning off Warner Media. Warner Media is the home of HBO Max and HBO, CNN, Warner Brothers, you know, movies, DC, TNT, TBS, Adult Swim, Cinemax. You get the idea. They are spinning that off because they are going to be merging that with Discovery. And if you remember, not too long ago, we talked about the new Discovery Plus streaming service. And, you know, Discovery is an umbrella for Discovery, Food Network, HGTV, OWN.
It's your home, you know, home for all things reality.
Pretty much. And also including the Magnolia Network, Kayla's favorite.
It's my guilty pleasure.
Have a subscription to Discovery Plus just to watch 90 Day Fiancé spinoffs.
Okay, I'm in good company.
On the contrary, there's plenty of BBC Earth stuff there too.
Yeah,
there you go. That's the balancer.
There is a new deal. They're merging. It's a $43 billion in cash, debt securities, and debt retention. With the AT&T will have a 71% stake in the new company. Discovery gets 29. They are going to be helmed by the Discovery CEO, David Zaslav, and executives from both companies will be filling the company's board of directors. So, yeah, giant conglomeration for direct-to-consumer entertainment. So, I did not see... Yeah, deal is expected to be finalized sometime in mid-2022, pending regulatory approval and approval from Discovery shareholders. AT&T says that they don't have to get their shareholders to approve it. And then there's a question then about, you know, what's going to go on with the two streaming services, HBO Max and Discovery Plus. So whether or not Discovery Plus will be just absorbed into the HBO Max platform.
Be perfectly okay with that, because that means it's one less thing that I had to pay for.
That's true.
It's a good point.
Could call it like I see it.
You're not wrong. Apparently, though, what had been on the back burner was NBC Universal was looking to work with AT&T to kind of help fill out and beef up the Peacock library. So now it looks like NBC Universal is going to be taking a look at maybe doing something with Viacom CBS, which just changed their streaming platform from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus, because everything is a plus.
Thanks, Disney.
It's all Disney's fault. Everything is Disney's fault.
So that's my business one. Next announced today is a new Lego set for the Marvel Universe. It is the Daily Bugle Lego set.
Is it the building?
It's the Daily Bugle skyscraper set from Lego, complete with 25 figures.
Oh, wow.
Some of whom have never been made into Lego before. It is the biggest set Lego has ever made. But it's apparently it's not the biggest, but it is apparently the tallest, standing at over 2 feet, 8 inches.
Oh, wow.
The building will include the newsroom, J. Jonah Jameson's office, Betty Brant's office, Peter Parker's office, complete with a framed photo of Spider-Man on his wall. And yeah, they're bringing this out. And here are the list of the 25 figures that come with it: Firestar, Blade, Dr. Octopus, Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson, Betty Brant, Venom, Miles Morales, Spider-Ham, Green Goblin, Gwen Stacy, Carnage, Punisher, Peter Parker, Spider-Gwen, Black Cat, Robbie Robertson, Ben Urich, Mysterio, Daredevil, Sandman, Aunt May, a newspaper worker, a New York taxi driver, and a receptionist.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see the popularity of people scrambling for that just for all those little figs.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me see.
Oh, I'll step on that.
It is
that's gonna hurt.
It is a lot.
3,772 piece set, and will be available at what is being said to be a reasonable $299.99.
Ready to lose three pieces in the first 15 minutes.
They are going to have it available on LEGO's website on June 1st, unless you're a LEGO VIP member. Did not realize that was a thing.
Thing either.
And if that's the case, your LEGO VIP, it'll be available May 26th.
Okay. I saw, I got all excited. I was scrolling through something and I saw a Avengers Tower.
Oh, wow.
And had LEGO. And I was like, oh my God, did they put out an Avengers Tower? Because I was like, oh, I can talk about that. No, it was an independent creator who had built one.
Hmm.
Which is still insanely cool.
That's badass.
Yeah, it was really gorgeous. I'll have to see if I can find the picture of it. Maybe we can have him on the show.
That would be good. And then my last bit of news, Kevin Smith was finally able to announce the premiere date for Masters of the Universe Revelations, and that will be coming to Netflix on July 23rd. We've talked about the star-studded cast on here before, and as part of the announcement, Mr. Smith put out several images from the upcoming show. Netflix, however, originally they were branding the show as a anime approach to it, but they now have kind of backed off of calling it an anime series. I think we had mentioned previous weeks that there is also going to be a prequel comic book series coming out, I believe starting this month. And so, yeah, it picks up after where the 80s cartoon ended, and it will, tell a new story. I believe it's either 8 or 10 episodes. I can't find my notes on it, but yeah, so they are coming. I think from the artwork I've seen, it looks really good.
Yeah, the artwork looks really good.
Give it a watch just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will review again.
Absolutely. And that's news I got.
You want to go, Will, or you want me to go?
You go.
Okay. Okay, I got a couple of little things. One of the things that I thought I was going to talk about is not the thing that I thought it was. Because Zack Snyder. So there was originally in the Snyder cut, there was a scene or a snippet of John Stewart's Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And it got cut. And Warner Brothers said that they cut it because they had plans to do something else with the Green Lantern stuff, and specifically with John Stewart later on. And then the article that I thought I was reading when I first saw it was that there was a reveal on what they were doing with Jon Stewart. Turns out that Zack Snyder just decided to show somebody the picture on his phone, and somebody caught it and tweeted it. So y'all suck. Got me excited for nothing. But Warner Brothers has alluded a few times that they are talking about doing something with the Green Lantern franchise and possibly with Jon Stewart, and I would love to see that. So everybody poke at Warner Brothers. Let's make that happen.
Well, there is. They are doing a Green Lantern course series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's why he was talking about it, because of that series. But yeah, I saw the article and was like, ooh, Jon Stewart. And then it wasn't what I thought it was, and I was mad. Okay.
Jon Stewart's an interesting choice for that, though.
He is. He is, for sure.
I'm intrigued, but morbidly so.
Yeah, I really want to see, them explore more of the Green Lanterns as a whole outside of Hal. You know, I mean, I want to see Kyle. I'd really like to see Kyle. I want to see John. I want to see Kyle. I want to see, you know, a Kilowog. Can I have a Kilowog series? Yeah, is that too much to ask?
You're not going to get a Kilowog series, but Kilowog will be in the Green Lantern series that is coming.
I know.
I can't help you with any of that, but I can give you a couple of geek points for the fact that you actually know names.
Thank you.
Because I couldn't pull that out if I wanted to. But then again, I'm not a DC guy.
I started out DC. That was my DC was my first love. So I've definitely got a leg up. I actually didn't get into Marvel until I was in my 30s before I really noticed Marvel too much. So DC was always my go-to. You know, I started out as a Wonder Woman girl. You know, watching the Linda Carter series and playing on the monkey bars, pretending you were on the invisible jet because I'm that old. But yeah, so cool things coming with Green Lantern. We have talked about on the show before, because I always have to talk about Critical Role. We had talked about before that they were launching a board game, and that they have the Darrington Press, which is their offshoot that is doing board games and stuff. We have a release date for the Uketoa game. Uketoa. So through Darrington Press, the Uketoa game is officially being launched on, I just lost it, there it is, May 27th. The board game was created by Jeff Havens with additional designs by Gabrielle Hicks, art by Hannah Fredrickson, Uketoa's sculpt by Nicholas Norman, and layout by V. Hendro. In the game, you and your friends will be aboard a single ship and have to survive after the mighty Uketoa is unleashed. The game is a tactical, semi-cooperative game and is sure to be a must-have for critters. The game looks really cool. Go look it up. Go look at the artwork. The artwork is super pretty. I'm actually this may, I don't know. I don't want to say it and jinx it, but this might be the one that breaks my phobia a little bit. I'm actually finding myself really wanting to play this. So do we it. Will have to, yeah. And if you look it up, there is there's a little video, about it and stuff online as well. Which is super cool. So I highly recommend checking that out if you're a critter or not, just because it looks like it's going to be a neat game, and hopefully it will bring even more people over to the dark side.
Are they any reference to what's going to cost?
Not in this particular article, no.
The soul of your firstborn.
Can you take my second? One day he's going to listen to these and he's going to have even more reasons to be mad at me. I love you, Jeremy. The game will launch to additional local game stores. Okay.
I think I just
Critical Role. Did you? Okay.
Yeah. $29.99.
Okay. Oh, and little side note here in the article, Taliesin Jaffe and Danny Carr wrote a sea shanty.
Yes.
I must now see this. I'm okay. I won't play it now because that's weird. But yeah, so go check that out. Really really need to see that now. Okay. Next little bit of news for my horror geeks out there. We don't talk a lot about horror on the show, but that is definitely a genre. There's been, as of a few days ago, there has been a release of the gruesome and painful opening scene from Spiral from the Book of Saw. So if you're a Saw fan, they have released the opening scene of the new movie. And all reviews so far say that it's pretty intense.
Wait, like, is this what, like, the 6th, 7th Saw movie?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It is. It's, I think it's 7. I want to say 7. I can Google it, but it's the Book of Saw now. So it's not him, because as we all know, he's gone. So now it's others that are picking up the mantle.
Copycats.
Samuel L. Jackson and Max Minghala are in this one. They play detectives investigating a string of grisly murders by a killer who is targeting cops. These detectives find themselves in the center of the killer's morbid game. So, okay, hold on. They are taking Samuel L. Jackson and putting him in a saw maze. I don't know if that's amazing or hysterical, but I have to see it now.
also as part of the cast is Chris Rock.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one.
We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one of those, okay, you have my attention. We shall see. Don't fuck it up.
How far in the cheek is the tongue at this point? That's...
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the face.
these movies, though, like even that last one, Jigsaw, like they are incredibly profitable movies for the folks that make them. I just saw Jigsaw made $103 million worldwide against a $10 million budget.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they make them for super cheap and make ridiculous amounts of money. That's why they keep making them.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have a soft spot for horror, and there hasn't been, I don't know, maybe I've missed stuff, probably because of the pandemic. There hasn't been any real good horror lately. So it's fun to see that, you know, some of that stuff is coming back if you're into that sort of thing. So there's that. Go watch the trailer. Tweet me. Let me know what you think. The last little bit of something here, and this is capitalism. But I always think it's interesting when big companies, especially like we're talking about the rise of the geeks, you know, and that what was once a very niche and guarded culture has now become very mainstream. And some people think that's good and some people don't. And then everybody's entitled to their opinion. I stumbled across an ad for Build-A-Bear Workshop and I fell down a rabbit hole.
Oh boy.
All of the geeky stuff that Build-A-Bear Workshop has now. And holy cow. If this is your thing, if you're into Build-A-Bear, if you're into geeky stuff, like, I mean, the list is ridiculous. Animal Crossing, Crayola, DC Comics, Doctor Who, Dr. Seuss, How to Train Your Dragon, Marvel, Minions movies, Paw Patrol, Pokemon, Star Wars, Trolls, Rainbow Friends, because, hey, Pride's coming up, Harry Potter, Girl Scouts, the Disney characters. Apparently, you know, Disney owns everything and has gotten into Build-A-Bear as well. Aladdin, Alice in Wonderland, Frozen, Lion King, Mickey and Friends, Moana. The Moana's really cute. She's a bunny. Nightmare Before Christmas. Princesses, like all of them. Raya and the Last Dragon, which, by the way, the Raya and the Last Dragon ones are really cute.
Wait, whoa, stop.
Yes, that's why I said it.
I can get me a Sisu?
Uh-huh, you can get me a Sisu.
Don't Golden Bear Workshop. Where are you?
Here, I will put the link in the chat for that particular one. You can check that out. Yeah, there's some really, really cool stuff. So if this is your thing, I highly recommend checking out Build-A-Bear for such things. And the accessories are ridiculous. Like, okay, like I said, it's capitalism. You're going to spend money. But it has come so far. I remember when Build-A-Bear was like, they had 3 teddy bears and like 6 outfits, you know? And the fact that they have, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you've made it when
there's a Build-A-Bear.
When there's a Build-A-Bear of it.
It's true. Sad.
I now has a sad.
Is it out of, it's out of stock?
Sisu is out of stock and not available, and is only an online exclusive, not available in stores.
But that means that it will come back. Oh, I just clicked on another thing. I fell down a rabbit hole of this stuff. Finding Dory is another one, which I have to now look at.
No, you don't.
Oh my god. And then they have like Frankenstein and also the Wizard of Oz. Oh my god. They've got a bunch of Wizard of Oz stuff.
So Build-A-Bear's got it.
Oh yeah, that's the crazy. I did not realize until I fell down this rabbit hole how far Build-A-Bear has come in embracing the geek culture as a whole. But yeah, so if you're looking for cool stuff, and the Pride stuff is really cool, right now it's under Crayola, but all the Crayola bears are rainbow. Most of the Crayola bears. They're so pretty. Oh my god. And again, I know we're going to talk about rainbow capitalism at some point, but they're really cute, and I had to say something, so there. Now you got to go, Will.
I have to go now? All right. We're going to start with, we'll start with rumor.
Okay.
So Brie Larson, because she's not busy enough, is in talks with Disney regarding 2 different projects. The first is going to be leading the Avengers.
Somebody has to.
Right? I mean, we do have a new Captain America.
Yes, we do.
This is true.
And for anybody who is scoffing at this moment, we are past the 7-day leeway. Yep. I can talk about this all I want.
Yes.
Do it.
So we have a new Captain America who could, honestly, I don't know if he could lead the Avengers or not, but you know what? Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, you got my vote. I'm down.
I'll take it.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. But she's also in talks with Disney about another character that she wants to play.
I saw this earlier.
And I'm all for this too. Brie Larson is a major Star Wars nerd. If you haven't checked out her presence on the socials, she's a gigantic Star Wars geek.
I love her even more.
And apparently she's in conversation with Disney to play Mara Jade.
Huh.
Now, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this. But they have to be very, very careful because Mara Jade is a very easy character to screw up. Put it in Dave Filoni and John Favreau's hands and leave them alone.
Thank you.
Let them go play with the toys and you'll get another hit show.
Yes, that's how this works.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to watch. So that's the rumor that I've got for this week. Take it for what you will. The site that I got it from is actually rather reliable.
We shall see how things shake out.
That's right. Nothing to do but wait.
Apparently, I was reading earlier, she auditioned for a role in all 3 of the sequel movies.
And was shown the door every time. And then, you know, Marvel scooped her up and went, if you don't want her, we'll take her.
Yeah, right?
Look, big star. Yeah. Mega star.
I mean, Academy Award winning star.
Mm-hmm. Badass.
Yeah. So, I like that rumor. which makes you wonder how much more of the quote unquote legends material they're going to drag into the canon.
All of it. Bring it. I'll watch. Even the crappy stuff. I'll watch. It's Star Wars. I'll watch. These are interesting stories.
You know, you say that, but that's how you get a holiday special.
I'm okay with the holiday special, too. I watched both of them.
I was going to say, we watched the Lego special, man. It was cool.
Well, the original Star Wars holiday special was trash. And everybody in
it. It had all sorts of things going on that are
so much bad.
I mean,
but it had Boba Fett.
It did have Boba Fett, and I believe
so. I threw down it had Boba Fett, and that's that.
It also had creepy Grandpa Wookiee watching.
It was the 80s, man. Everybody had a creepy Uncle Grandpa Wookiee in their family.
Sure, I did have one of those.
Me too. Think back. Think back. You can assign a member of your own family to everybody in that holiday special.
Oh yeah. Well, so, except for singing B. Arthur. I don't think we really had a.
Everybody needs a singing B. Arthur.
Yes. That's true.
Going into some other stuff that is a little more based in reality and not a rumor. Nathalie Emmanuel and Garrett Hedlund are set to star in The Bride, a Scream Gems horror thriller to be directed by Jessica M. Thompson. Blair Butler wrote the original script based on her pitch with revisions by Thompson. Emil Gladstone is producing. It is inspired by Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay.
This is going to be a contemporary horror thriller that tells the story of a young woman who is courted and swept off her feet only to realize it's a gothic conspiracy is afoot. Given the popularity of the Dracula IP, execs are excited about the possibility of the project, seeing it as a potential franchise, with the studio fast-tracking the movie for an end-of-summer start. So,
interesting.
More horror coming for you, Kayla.
I know. I'm weird.
Listen, you give me a good Dracula vampire story, and I'm a happy person.
Can't go wrong with it. I mean, it works. Just look at how many times Dracula has found the big screen.
Mm-hmm. It has stood the test of time again and again.
Let's be fair, though. Some of those times, I call them less than successful.
This is true. This is true. So, have you guys been wondering what's been happening at the volume with The Mandalorian not being filmed?
Ooh, I know.
Do you?
I do.
You told me about this the other night, and I forgot. Go ahead.
Peyton Reed is the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe director to go and visit the volume after Taika Waititi did so for Thor 4. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is set to use that facility, and Peyton Reed tweeted out a picture of himself in the volume, so pre-production has begun, and it looks like production is about to begin very, very shortly on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Speaking of Taika Waititi, did you see, he posted the other day, it was like a picture of him and Chris Hemsworth, like, just sitting around going, yeah, this is Marvel's budget for our movie poster.
The two of them
sitting there? No, I did not.
Yeah.
You're going to have to post that on the socials so that we can see it.
Okay.
More work for Joe to do.
Yeah. Joe doesn't have enough shit to do.
He's got 5 minutes when he's on the toilet doing something.
Applying for jobs.
It happens.
I got two more things here. We'll go with E3 has made an announcement. Yes. Participants have been announced. The list of companies confirmed for the all-virtual E3 2021 continues to grow, with the addition of several high-profile video game publishers and developers, as well as tech, hardware, and streaming companies. Square Enix, Sega, Bandai Namco Entertainment, XSEED Games, / Marvelous USA Incorporated, Gearbox Entertainment, Freedom Games, Devious Eye Entertainment, Turtle Beach, Verizon, and Binge.com are the latest to join the fray and are preparing to bring major announcements and reveals to fans throughout E3, which takes place June 12th through 15th.
Okay.
Previously confirmed E3 partners include Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive, and Warner Brothers. Growing list of publishers and participating partners can be found on the E3 website, which we can link into the show notes.
We definitely will. And just a little inside baseball, we have signed up to see if we can become members of the media covering E3. So waiting to hear back on that.
Oh, I didn't even know you'd done that.
Oh, we did that, what, six months ago?
We did?
When they announced that E3 was going to be completely virtual.
Will left since then.
Yeah, Will was like, hey, can we look at maybe press credentials to cover this?
Because Will's really the brains of the outfit.
We are so screwed. We are so screwed if that's true. Joe's the mastermind.
Okay, I have a better understanding now.
Now you understand why we are the way we are.
Yes.
We're all a little touched. One last thing I've got. Disney decided they were going to throw down and throw something out there without making any kind of announcements. Because, well, they've been doing this a lot recently, where they'll just make something available without informing anybody that it's out there. So there's a new thing that you can pick up at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The only confirmed place at the moment is at the Disneyland Resort. But you can go to Galaxy's Edge and build yourself a Darksaber.
Oh,
nice.
That's new.
Yeah, as of today. And they just kind of threw it out there and said, we're not going to make an announcement. People are just going to show up and go, hey, you can buy this now.
They have the best advertising engine in the world, which is millions of rabid fans.
Yes. A theme park reporter called the Cali Bay shared a video of the incredible new lightsaber on Instagram. It is $199.99, according to that report.
Have you guys seen, Joe and I were just talking about this, have you guys seen the Luke Leia lightsaber set?
No.
Oh my god, this is another one that they did, like, a limited thing, didn't tell a lot of people about it, like, I don't even know if you can still get them. It is a box set, and when I say box set, like, Disney Star Wars, all out, gorgeous, wood box. Open it and music starts to play, wrapped in the yellow cloth with the leather tie, Luke and Leia sabers. Insanely gorgeous. Like, just, I've seen a couple of people now unboxing them and talking about them and showing them off, and holy cow, they're beautiful.
Oh, it's as too beautiful.
Right? As we all Google it.
Just take my money. It will. I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what they retail for?
I don't want to know. Stop! Don't tell me.
Take my money now.
Close your ears.
The Skywalker Legacy lightsaber set is limited to 3,000 pieces only. It's available for Shop Disney and will retail at
$6.99.
$375.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
I thought $700 easy.
Yeah, it's just...
That's probably what you will pay for it now on the secondary markets.
Oh my god, you know people are going to do that so fast. That's... Yeah, it was cool. The very first video I saw, I think it was a TikTok, but it was like this guy's wife had somehow secretly gotten it for him, and like he's like this huge, like their house is like Star Wars stuff all over the place, and she like surprised him with it, and this dude, this big, burly, like all of us, cuddly dude, opens this box and literally falls to his knees crying. It was so beautiful. It's just like, oh my god. This is why I'm okay with Disney having this franchise. Because I wasn't in the beginning, but we get cool stuff like this. Oh, there's already one on eBay for $800. I just found it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not available on Shop Disney anymore, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, Will, that was the last
all I got.
All right. Well, let's go to the big board and see who our winner is this week, as if we don't know.
Do we? Yeah. Do we even have to ask?
It's time for a coronation.
Right? Yeah. She needs
a crown.
No. She needs the geek crown.
Your Majesty.
Coming in at 10 geek points. And I'm sure we could have given her many more throughout the course of the evening, but you are such a delight to speak to. I don't think any of us wanted to interrupt you. But so Risa came in with 10. And here's something that's never happened before, I don't think. Joe, Will, and myself have triple tied for second with 3 apiece.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I think that definitely is a first.
We all linked arms and walked across the finish line together.
There we go.
Yes, I love that.
Friends forever.
BFFs.
We're all like super trauma bonded anyway, so it's okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I still won, so I don't want to hurt your feelings. I won.
You did. You won.
So, as our winner, it is your right responsibility and duty to let folks know where they can find you online, doing all the really cool stuff that you do online. So, the floor is yours, Your Highness.
Thank you much for addressing me as Your Highness. But my name is Reese. Also, you can find me as Charisse Nicole. I'm available on Twitter as @MissReese1. Also on Instagram as @MissReese, but also please be sure to follow my other projects at Miss Thurston County, Miss Thurston Wa on Instagram.
Excellent. And we will have links to that in the show notes. We also will put the link up to your the TTRPG Twitter handle as well, so folks can see when you guys have new
TTRPG episodes coming up. Because that was something I missed, but TTRPG at TTRPG underscore on Twitter, but also at TTRPG on every other social media platform.
Cool. Kayla?
Yes?
Where can people find you online?
They can find me on the Twits at @Hawk_Kayla. They can find me on Instagram at @GeekiestKayla. You can find me at our fun little witchy, geeky surf shop at 4148 Davy Road if you are in the South Florida area. If you are not, you can find us at secondhandgoddess.net. We've got some really cool, speaking of Disney, some really cool Disney stuff on there as well. Some Disney pins, some very kind of rare Disney pins. So go check that out. You can find me playing Jade in the Not Safe for Wizards D&D Actual Play podcast. I think that's it. And here on the Geekiest. And that's it, I think, for now. There will be more.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
Where can our lovely listeners find you on the interwebernets?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GeekiestWill. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Take us home, sir.
Well, if you're on Twitter, you can find me at Demorgus. That's DEMORGUS. If you want to follow this podcast on social media, just any of the socials, go to The Geekiest Pod. If you'd like to get some Geekiest Pod merchandise, you can go to shop.spreadshirt.com/thegeekiestpod and pick yourself up either, say, the five-headed logo merch or maybe the hashtag GeekPoint merch and show off your geekiness. More merch ideas are in the works, so keep an eye out for that. Probably best place to keep an eye out for that, though, is on our socials. You can email us at thegeekiestpod@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me occasionally behind the counter at Secondhand Goddess, or you can hear me on Not Safe for Wizards, the 5th edition actual play podcast, where I am the DM. And that's it for now. Other things are in the works, as we like to keep saying, and they're going to come fruition soon. So, while the CDC is relaxing some things, we still want to remind you the pandemic is still kind of a thing. So, if you're not vaccinated yet, go get yourself vaccinated. If you're not, remember, wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, don't be a dick. You know, the quicker we all get, we get vaccinated, the quicker we can all go back to watching great movies at the movie theaters or going to concerts or going to cons. So, you know, it's available and out there. Please avail yourself of it. And as always, this podcast believes that Black Lives Matter, trans rights are human rights, and that love is love. We thank you for listening this week. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Leave the world a better place than you found it, kids. It's important.
Hey there, listener. Before we get out of here, just want to ask you to do us a little favor. Two little favors. One, if you go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review there. 5 stars would be great, but hey, we're leaving that up to you. And second would be, share the podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you think would enjoy a deep dive into geek culture. That would definitely help us. Thanks for listening. The preceding program was brought to you by Armored Bear Productions.